In the military, the term got your six means I've got your back. It's a promise of trust, support, and camaraderie. The Got Your Six Real Estate Podcast embodies this spirit, offering unwavering guidance for military personnel, their families, and real estate professionals. Join your host, Kevin Onosik, who shares market trends, expert insights, and stories. Now let's get started with Got Your Six.
Well, welcome to this episode of the Got Your Six Real Estate Podcast. We have a super exciting guest here today. We've got Mason from CFS talking about DSCR. Those of us who have military experience, we're all used to acronyms, so we're going to throw around a whole bunch of them today. So getting started, Mason, tell us a little bit about yourself. Pronounce your last name for us and tell us who CFS is to start.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. My name is Mason Isgrig, and to clarify, I am the DSCR account manager for Alcova. I work hand-in-hand with CFS, which is Creative Financial Solutions, but at the moment, I work solely with Alcova Mortgage as the DSCR account manager. Oh. I've been in the mortgage business since the late part of 2021. I'm from currently in Asheville, North Carolina. I got into the mortgage business doing DSCR loans in Austin, Texas. And after doing DSCR loans for, you know, close to 6 to 8 months, my father recruited me to come work under his branch down here in Asheville, North Carolina. And I've been doing this ever since then.
Very good. Yeah, today we're going to focus on a product that would be of interest to those thinking about investing, you know, real estate as an investment. And sometimes folks need something a little outside the box to qualify to purchase, and that is what we call a DSCR loan. So assuming I don't even know how to spell DSCR, I guess tell us a little bit about what that stands for, what it means, like what are we even talking about today?
So DSCR stands for Debt Service Coverage Ratio. And on this mortgage, we are looking at the rental income for the subject property to cover the mortgage payment. And what this loan and who this loan is for is this loan is designed for investors to expand their rental property portfolio. And some of the differences that are good for this loan is that landlords and property owners and investors can get this loan and title the property into their LLC. You can't do that on a conventional loan. And with this loan, there's not going to be the pain of analyzing tax returns or income documentation as you would on a conventional loan, because sometimes, you know, there's going to be those people who are 1099 or contractors, and they have a large amount of expenses on their tax returns. And as you as a mortgage loan officer, you know that can limit their debt to income ratio and can limit the amount of their pre-approval for whenever they're ready to go purchase the house. So what the DSCR does is the DSCR looks at the fair market rent on the appraisal for on the purchase side. As long as we're seeing that house is cash flowing with that fair market rent to the mortgage payment, then investors can get this loan with 20% down, 25% down without having the hassle of having to go through and analyzing the tax returns with debt to income ratio.
No hassle. Or hey, if you are self-employed or an investor, you want the best CPA you can find to pay the least amount of taxes, which means showing the least amount of income or highest expenses, of course. So that can make qualifying for a traditional conventional mortgage to purchase an investment property more challenging. So yeah, that's a great fit for the DSCR program, because they're looking at just like a commercial property purchase would be. They're looking at the cash flow from the property, is the rent covering the mortgage payment. So that is that what I'm getting right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So how do you calculate the income for qualifying? You said it's based on an appraisal number, and like, does it just have to be, you know, if the appraisal rent is $2,000, does the payment just have to be less than that? How does that work?
So it's going to be, when we order the appraisal, we're going to order a rent schedule to come along with it. And that's what's going to give us the fair market rent number. Now, let's say you're buying a $100,000 house, and let's say you're putting 20% down, and let's say the fair market rent comes back at $1,500 a month. And just for easy numbers, let's say that the mortgage payment is going to be $1,000 a month. Since that would give us a 1.5 DSCR ratio, which is great, by the way. And so therefore that house would qualify. You'd be good to get the loan and move forward with with your investment. On the DSCR, we can go as low as 0.75. So that would be in a case where you're buying this property, but the fair market rent just isn't covering the mortgage payment yet. But investors will do this because they're going to hold the property for appreciation gain over the life of the loan. That's their sole goal in getting this, even if it's not cash flowing.
Okay, so this is a buy and hold type of a program where folks want to keep it, have appreciation. This isn't for a flipper.
Correct. Yes, this loan is not designed for flippers. This loan can be a tool for flippers, or let's say they don't want to flip the property, but they want to refinance the property. So in that case, if it's going to be a refinance coming from someone who went and bought a property, fixed it up, and they don't want to sell it, they want to keep it, we can look at if they have a tenant in place already, we can look and see what that lease amount is to qualify for the rental income, or if the fair market rent comes in higher than what the lease is currently in place, then we can gross up that lease by 20% or so. Now, under certain circumstances, let's say a borrower has a 700 credit score, then we can refinance your property with no tenant in place and just go solely off of the fair market rent on the appraisal.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a 700 credit score. So are you looking at the buyer's qualifications? I know on a traditional mortgage, you're looking at credit, you're looking at income. What do you look at on the buyer side to qualify other than the property cash flowing?
So borrowers are going to need a minimum of a 660 credit score. That's going to be the minimum just to be able to get a rate and be able to get a quote and then be able to proceed through the process. First-time investors, if you own your primary house, but you don't own any investment properties, that's going to reduce our max loan-to-value from 80% to 75%. So if you're a first-time investor, instead of putting 20% down, you have to put down 25% down.
Fair enough. You know, if you don't have the experience, you put a little more skin in the game.
Exactly. And as far as requirements for the buyer to qualify, you know, it's pretty straightforward. You know, have good credit, have a 660 credit score, have enough money to put down on the property, and either have experience or have no experience.
Interesting. Now, what about the property itself? Are there requirements specific to properties? Are there limitations on the type of properties that someone can buy?
Definitely. So for our program at Alcova, we can do up to 4 units. So we can do single family, duplex, triplex, quadplex. We can do condos. We can do warrantable condos. We can do non-warrantable condos. We can do townhouses. So everything that's less than 4 units, we can do. We can't do commercial properties. We can't do, you know, 5 or 6 unit apartments. Anything that's 4 units or less, we can do.
Okay. So this isn't a commercial loan. It's a residential home purchase loan that just gives you some flexibility on the income qualifying.
Exactly. That's it.
Kind of the same thing go with property condition. Like, you know, I know in the traditional mortgage world, if there's something that comes up on the appraisal, wood rot, you know, safety issues, you know, can this be for a property that has some problems, or is this going to be kind of more fits with a traditional mortgage?
It's going to be more so that fits with a traditional mortgage, because with this loan, our investors and us as the lender, we're looking to make sure that, okay, as soon as you buy this property is ready to rent. This property is ready to have a tenant move in place as soon as you purchase it, and it's ready to be a rental property from day one. Any property that gets I can't remember the specific guideline, but it has to be at least C3 or greater on the appraisal approach. Anything that's going to be C4 or C5 that's going to be deemed, you know, not livable or needs repair work. Or sometimes if you're looking at the listings on Zillow and it shows looking for an investor for a fixer upper, you know, those types of properties are not going to fly in the DSCR program.
So on that, maybe you'd look at the fix and flip and do the renovations, then refinance with a DSCR.
Exactly. That's the perfect plan. And so like we can go contact our buddies over at CFS to get with the borrower. They get the renovation funds, they purchase the property, they come back to us. And the way this works is if it's going to be like a rate and term refinance, like you are just looking solely to pay off the debt that you borrowed to purchase the property and rehab it, we can use the appraised value as soon as you're done with the as soon as you're done with the rehab, and we can go up to 80% loan to value.
Nice.
For cash out, it's going to be a little bit different. So for cash out, if you've owned the property for less than 6 months, then when you come to do your loan, we will do 75% of the purchase price plus documented improvements. Once you hit that 6 month mark of seasoning, then we can order the appraisal and use the appraised value to determine how much, what your loan amount's going to be.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, since we are using the debt service coverage ratio to qualify, what kind of documentation do you need from an applicant? Like, do you still do tax returns and W-2s and all that? Or they just don't even need to do that part?
They don't even need to do that part. We don't even look at the income section. We will look at, so for a purchase, we'll look at bank statements. We will look at mortgage statements to be sure that if you own other properties, that your mortgages are up to date. If you're looking to title the property into a entity, we'll look at, we will request your entity documents. We'll get your typical documents like driver's license, have you fill out the application and that sort of process. And other than that's a big handful of what we are going to ask for. We're just looking to see that you have enough cash to buy the property for the down payment and close, that your mortgages are paid and up to date, you're not behind on any payments, and that everything with your entity is up to date as far as registration and dues.
Okay, yeah, all that makes sense. Now, what you mentioned the process, what's the process look like? Do they start with just like a normal application? How does someone get started? And like, how long does this all take?
The standard process for a purchase is going to be 30 days. Refinance is going to take anywhere from 30 to 45, just because it's a refinance. Something's come up during the process with the appraisal and all that good stuff. How someone gets started, if someone just wants to see, you know, like, hey, Mason, I have this property that I want to buy. I want you to run the numbers on it. So the information that I collect is I'm going to get the property address, how much they want to put down. We're going to run some estimates to get the fair market rent, either by going to the HUD fair market rent website, going on Zillow, seeing what comparable properties, you know, will rent for. We'll get taxes and an insurance estimate. And then, boom, we have all the information we need to provide a DSCR quote. Now, one thing that I missed in the earlier section is that these DSCR loans come with prepayment penalties. With the standard prepayment penalty being 5 years, we can adjust it to 3 years, or you can have a loan with no prepayment penalty. And what that is a prepayment penalty is going to say, hey, for 5 years, if you pay off this property, you're going to pay a percentage of the unpaid balance that you just paid off. So it go, and it's a step down. What that means is if you have a 5 year prepayment penalty, it's going to go in the first year, if you pay off your mortgage, it's going to be 5% total. The second year, it's going to be 4%, then 3%, 2%, 1%. And then once those 5 years are up, if you were to sell the property or you were to refinance, after 5 years, there's no penalty.
Now, you mentioned there's shorter terms or no prepayment penalty. Why wouldn't I just say, hey, I'll take the no prepayment penalty one?
So with this loan, if you want to take no prepayment penalty, you're going to have a higher interest rate, and you're going to have higher points. And that's mainly due to like the investors on these loans, they're looking to collect the interest for X amount of years. So essentially, if you choose to go no prepayment penalty, they're just going to go there. We're going to go ahead. We're going to get that interest so forth collected up front in terms of points. Now, going from a 5-year to a 3-year, let's have an example of let's say we have a property with a DSCR of 1.5, very high. Anything above 1.25 is going to get you the best pricing. And let's say we were to adjust to the 3-year prepayment penalty, which lowering the prepayment penalties is going to have a little bit of increase in points or a little bit increase in interest rate. It's different every time depending on the loan amount and the structure of the loan. If we can work with the DSCR to be above a certain threshold, let's say above 1.25 still, we can switch to the 3-year prepayment penalty and there's not really a big hit to the debt service coverage ratio and we can move forward.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, my wife and I, we invest in short-term rentals. We've got a few properties active and looking to grow our portfolio. Can I use this program to purchase a short-term rental? It's kind of a little different, but same general concept.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of qualification, it's going to be a little bit different using the rental income. Let's say the property you want to buy has 12 months of short-term rental history. We can take the average monthly rental income from that property and use that to calculate the DSCR. And typically, some short-term rentals are going to have higher income than what the standard fair market lease is going to be. Now, if the house doesn't have short-term rental income, you can still buy the property and use it as a short-term rental income. No problem with that. But the qualification is still going to be using the 1007 fair market rent from the appraisal.
So the rental income would be more based like a long-term rental.
Yes, exactly. So going into the deal, it doesn't really have to be specific as to what you're going to use the property for.
Okay.
If the property has, like, if you wanted to go buy like a house that's being used as a short-term rental, but you're going to use it as a long-term rental, but that house has 12 months of short-term rental history, we can use that income, average it out based on 12 months, and use that to qualify with the DSCR.
You're not going back to check to see how I'm renting it, you know, what exactly my rental income is. As long as I'm making the payments on time, after that, we're good.
Exactly. As long as you have an intent to use this property as an investment property, to place a tenant inside, we're not going to come back and, you know, check. As long as you're making your payments and as long as everything's going well on your part, we're fine.
Okay. Now I was thinking, like, can you think of any recent closings, recent stories, any like case studies, success stories for clients who have used a DSCR purchase?
Absolutely. Here's one example that will kind of tie everything into it. Back in November, October, I had a client who he wanted to take cash out of two townhouses that he has rented out in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he wanted to use that cash to then go buy a property on the beach down near Ocean Isle. So we were able to successfully take cash out of two properties using the DSCR loan, and then use that cash to then go put the down payment on the next property, which was also being used as a DSCR loan because that property also had short-term rental income, which helped boost the DSCR. So taking cash out, taking out about, you know, close to $225,000 worth, and taking that money and putting it into the next house and closing all three deals in the same day.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty sharp investment opportunity for those folks.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we've done five deals at one time for one person. All of them were cash out. He didn't go immediately go buy another property, but he wanted that cash into a separate account to where it's like, hey, if I want to make a move, I'm ready to make a move and go buy my next investment property, which is what this loan is made for. It's made for investors to expand their rental property portfolio at a rapid rate.
Yeah, that makes sense. I follow, as a real estate investor myself, I follow on Instagram and Facebook a bunch of fellow gurus and experts, or at least that's what they call themselves. But you know, the folks that grow their portfolios the fastest seem to leverage every property as much as they can. You know, they'll purchase it, maybe renovate it, refinance, and get every penny cash out they can to go buy the next one and the next one.
Exactly. And going, if someone was wanting to go conventional, you know, eventually there would be a hard stop, either due to A, they've reached the 10 loan limit with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or they've gotten to a part where there's a lot of liability in having rental properties but not having them titled to your LLC, or it's just they get to the part, you know, with their tax returns and they're having to, you know, deduct and expense line item after line item, and they can't qualify from a conventional standpoint. Because the next option after DSCR and conventional is to go get private equity money with a 5-year, 10-year balloon period on it, to then at the end of the time period, you have to pay them back the full amount that you borrowed to purchase the property.
And that's pretty expensive money too, isn't it?
That's very expensive money. Your interest rate is going to be anywhere from, you know, 10 to 15%. And you've got to have a plan in place to pay this off in 5 years, 10 years.
And to make it profitable at an interest rate that high.
Exactly. Making it profitable, which at 10 to 15% interest rates, you know, that's very, very hard. You know, not that's going to be a case where, you know, the DSCR on a property is going to be, you know, less than one. And a good thing about the DSCR is that we can offer interest-only options. So, for example, let's say you're buying a property and we're trying to get the DSCR above one in order to, you know, get the best interest rate. Because once you go below one, the interest rate's going to fluctuate a little bit. So we can flip the loan to interest only for the first 10 years. 10 years, interest only. After those 10 years are up, it goes fully amortizing for the remaining 20 years. And even if you structure your deal to be interest only, you can still make extra payments at the end of the month to go towards the principal balance.
Right.
Many investors will capitalize on this by taking interest only, increasing the cash flow, and holding the property throughout the prepayment penalty period, which is at 5 years, to get the best interest rate, and then look to either sell or refinance after that 5 years is up.
Well, that does make sense too, because we've talked about taxes and tax savings. You don't deduct the mortgage payment on your taxes, you deduct the mortgage interest. So exactly. As a real estate investor, if I pay interest only, I get that deduction, I get the lower payment, I don't have to repay principal. I can, but I don't have to. And then I can put that money to work someplace else.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of investors do. You know, these investors who have 10, 20, 30, 40 doors, that's their plan. Some of them will want to have a couple properties on like fully amortized, but not every single one.
No, that makes perfect sense. Huh. Well, that's cool. I've certainly learned a lot about the DSCR program. Is there anything we've missed today? Anything else someone should consider when purchasing an investment property and looking for financing options?
I would run the numbers first. I would make sure that you know what this house is going to rent for. You know, typically, like, I can do a very good job at limiting that exposure risk of, you know, once the appraisal comes in and all the numbers are completely different, then that creates a nightmare scenario. Because if you're going into a deal and you're thinking, okay, I can get this deal for 20% down or 25% down, and then it comes back and it hits you in the face like, hey, no, you need to be at 65% LTV for this property, the cash flow. I would run the numbers on every property, get with your lender or get with me or anyone in Alcova. We run the numbers. We make sure going in that, you know, we have good rental estimates, good insurance estimates. We pull the tax card. We make sure that we know that there's not going to be a scary story once the appraisal comes in.
And should they reach out to you directly, or I would assume they can reach out to us here locally. You know, we're in the Williamsburg, Virginia market. Folks can catch us here, call our office. We are 757-645-0196. Anything else you would suggest, Mason?
Yeah, anyone, especially in your area, can reach out to you. You can call me. I mean, you can go through the details together. We can work up something that's going to be best for your borrower in order to get their next investment property.
Awesome. Hey, man. Well, I appreciate your time today. I think this is great and a lot of super information. We will certainly share this with folks. And for those listening, please tell everybody you know about the DSCR program and the options that folks do have when they want to invest in real estate. And please like and share. The more traction we can get for our podcast here, the more folks we can help become successful in real estate investment. You know, that's what we're here to do. Awesome. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for tuning in to the Got Your Six Real Estate Podcast with Kevin Amazon. We hope you found value in today's episode. If we've got your six, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who could benefit. For more resources and episodes, visit our website at gotyoursixrealestatepodcast.com. Until next time, we've got your six.